Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week.
Thanks so much. You may have a seat. So I'm going to root for the 49ers today. Just because it irritates the greatest number of people, not only in the church, but in my house. So that's just what I'm going to do today. So I love interesting facts. I love little pieces of trivia that give insight to our existence. So today you will blink 14,000 times. That means in total, your eyes will be closed today for 23 minutes. You will walk through 23 minutes of today with your eyes closed. And I find that statistic interesting because I'm going to talk for about 25 minutes today. Okay. Don't pool all of your eye closing together in these few moments, right? I want you to be awake and I want you to be aware. I really want you to pay attention to what we're talking about today because we're talking about our identity. This is us. This is who we are. And this is the final message in a teaching series. Next week, I am really jazzed about a new teaching series on, it's called Hidden Figures, some women in the Scripture that don't normally get attention, and they're almost hidden in the pages of Scripture, but there is a rich trove of wisdom to be learned from every person in Scripture, men and women alike. So we're ending today on this teaching series, This Is Us, and I just want to take you big picture again, okay? Because we have talked before, in fact, we've talked for 20 years about our mission. And our mission, this is how we define success. And more a colloquial way of saying it is saying, what are we doing here? You know, why are we a part of this thing called First Baptist Church? Now, when I talk to people out in the community or when I travel, I ask them about their church and I say, why do you go to the church you go to? Okay. Now, I ask that on purpose and I generally get four answers. I like the preacher or the pastor. I like the musical style. They have a program for me that meets my needs, or I like the people. Now, there's nothing wrong with these top four answers, but notice that it's all me-centric. It's all what I want. And so if that fails to meet my need, I might just go somewhere else, right? And so kind of the question, it's a little bit harsh, when did church become about us, right? And what I would like you to think about is when somebody asks you, why do you go to First Baptist Tulsa? I want you to say, because of the pastor. That's what I want you to say, all right? But what I really want you to say is, we make God look good. By the way, we fail at that sometimes. We mess that up. We're not going to be perfect. But the reason I go to the church I do is because we are trying every way we know how to make God look good. And this is how easy this is. God is good. This is not smoke and mirrors. We want to make God look good because he is good. Now, we've been talking about that for 20 years, and about the last 2 years, we've been talking about vision. So, get the connection here. Our mission is how we define success. What are we doing here? Our vision is, where are we going? What direction are we heading? You know, where do we see this leading us? What's our next steps? All right. Now, it's become very popular over the last decade or so for businesses to develop a vision statement. Okay, now I want you to hear me very clearly on this. We're not just modeling ourselves after the business world, and I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that if we see something valuable. So a couple of companies that you'll know, Amazon. Their vision statement says to be the most consumer-centric company on the planet, that people can discover and buy anything they want to online. That's their vision, to be a consumer-centric company. Google, their vision is this, to make a world of information accessible in one click. That's why when you go to Google's homepage, it's so simple, right? They just want to put a world of information one click away. Disney, their vision statement, to make people happy. Pretty simple, right? That's their vision. Now, as a church, we don't have a vision because businesses are doing it. But here's what I would say. If a business thinks it's important to know where they're going, how much more the church? How important is it for us when eternal things are on the line? When people knowing Christ and spending an eternity either with him or isolated from him. What are we doing here? What direction are we going? And so for the last couple of years, I've been beating this drum that we want to develop Jesus followers. I want you and I to grow in our relationships with Jesus Christ. And so the question is, what's your next step? But it's not just about me and Jesus. It's about me and Jesus and what kind of difference he wants me to make in the world. The average person will meet 10,000 people in the course of their lifetime. 10,000 people. Is it reasonable to think that maybe for a dozen of those, you could make a substantial difference in their lives in the name of Christ? Because we live in a world of people far from God. Don't be surprised when the world feels dark, because it is dark. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So how we define success? We want to make God look good. Where are we going? This is it. I want to grow as a Jesus follower so I can be a difference maker and impact the world for the kingdom of God. Okay? So what we've been talking about the last month, the last 5 weeks, is this. These are our values. Values are just how we choose to behave. This is the culture that we want to develop. And I'm asking you to embrace this with me. It's kind of the job of a leader to say, here's what we should value, and so I'm doing that. Now it's up to you to decide whether you really value these things or not. But as long as you let me be pastor here, this is what I want us to value more than anything else. And it's all about relationships. Our relationship with God through worship. I've had people say to me, literally, I spent my whole life in church. I've heard all the songs. I've heard all the sermons. I don't need that anymore. That is a tragic philosophy of worship. That's a tragic theology of worship, because we never outgrow our need to be in the presence of God. We need worship. We need to be in God's presence. It's not just about singing and listening. It's about encountering God's presence here so we can recognize him everywhere we go. Then there's community. Community is how we relate to one another. Didn't Jesus say this? They will know you are my disciples by the way you vote. They'll know you are my disciples by what you post on social media. No, he didn't say that. They'll know you are my disciples by the way you love. And if we can't love each other, we're going to find it impossible to love the world, which is the next thing, to serve. People won't care where we stand until they see how we serve, until they see how we love. So a couple of years ago, and I've told this story before, my wife and I were on a cruise. Gosh, it's been about 10 years ago now. And back in that day, I've stopped doing this now, but I would try to hide the fact that I'm a pastor, because as soon as people find out I'm a pastor, one of two things happens. Either they want to talk my ear off, you know, and they want to talk about their church and how great their pastor is, and I want to say, I don't care, I'm on a cruise right now. You know, is that too blunt? Yeah. Everyone needs a vacation, right? I don't want to talk about church on my vacation, right? Well, that sounds bad. I'm on vacation. I really don't want to talk about Jesus right now. Can we talk about it? That sounds terrible. Sounds terrible. But you know what I mean. You just need a break from thinking about things nonstop. Or people avoid me if they find out I'm a pastor, right? And so at our table for this cruise 10 years ago was a gay couple, Brian and Chris. And I just decided not to tell them I was a pastor. We spent the week together, had a lot of great conversations together, saw each other, you know, on excursions and on the ship. And I told Paula the last day on the cruise, I said, with social media being what it is, they're going to look us up when they get back to Chicago, and they're going to find out I'm a pastor. I think I need to tell them now. And so the last night of the cruise, we found them. I got Chris and Brian together. I said, listen, there's something I've not told you. I said, I'm a pastor. They go, oh. I go, no, you don't understand. I'm a Southern Baptist pastor. They go, oh. Yeah. And we just had a very candid conversation. I said, yeah, if we had not gotten to know you, we probably would not have talked to you this week. And I love what Chris said. He goes, look who's coming out now. My favorite line of that cruise. What does it say about us that people associate us more with the condemnation of the Pharisees than with the love of Jesus Christ? It's tragic that we would be associated more with the first century Pharisees than with Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have principles and priorities and beliefs, but we do it in love because we want to serve people, right? And what we talked about last week was Scripture. And I'm kind of a stickler on this. That when I stand up here on a Sunday morning or we gather together in our community groups, listen, I have nothing to say of any value outside of the message of the Scripture. Not because it's the Bible, but because the Scripture points us to Jesus Christ. And if we want to know who He is, we must have an accurate record of who He is. And so we embrace the Scripture and we ask God to speak to us through that. So here's our last stop for the day. We're going to talk about growth. And this is the relationship that you have with yourself. Okay? All these others are external. Your relationship with God, other Christians, the world, your relationship with the will of God. This is your relationship with you. And I think that one thing ought to describe our relationship with ourselves, and that is growth, that we are growing. And so I just want to ask you as plainly as I can, would you consider yourself to be a maturing Christian? And I've asked that very purposefully because I don't believe that there is a mature Christian. Okay, that mature implies that it's done. Maturing means that I am still in process. And I don't think that there's ever a time in our lives where we should stop growing, when we should stop continuing to become until we completely become like Jesus Christ. Okay? So we've been focusing on the Beatitudes as we've gone through these. This one fits perfectly with growth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. By the way, didn't plan it, but isn't it cool that we did this on Communion Day? Who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So, in my simple view of physical health, and I've pretty much boiled this down, if I can control four things, I can be physically healthy, okay? Rest and exercise. If I know when to flip the off switch and rest, and when I know to exert myself, if I know when to rest and exercise, I can be a pretty healthy person. By the way, I read the statistic this week. If by the age of 40 you exercise 11 minutes a day, you will add 2 years to your life. Of course, you'll spend all that exercising, but that's beside the point, you know. Or if you exercise an hour a day, you'll add 5 years to your life on average. There is not a part of your body that does not benefit from exercise. Your brain, your bones, your immunities to cancer and senility. If there were a pill that would benefit us like a moderate amount of exercise, it would easily become the most popular pill in pharmaceutical history. But there's no pill for it. You've got to rest and you've got to exert yourself. The other two factors are this, what you eat and drink. And if I could sum that up in one word, to be healthy, we have to control our appetites. Jesus says, you know what? Part of your spiritual health is going to be developing an appetite, okay? Because if your appetites are right, you will grow, you will mature, you will continue to become until you completely become like Jesus Christ. And Jesus is very clear, you should hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, that's a big word that really shouldn't be scary to us, because just lop off all the suffixes and you have the word right. To be in right relationships. Specifically, in a right relationship with God. There was one comedian back in the day. Oh, I've forgotten his name. Benny, what's his name? Goodman. Is it Goodman? Is that right? Is that right? No, Benny. Jack Benny, thank you. Who said that? You don't have to give any money today. You're good. You're like you preached today. Jack Benny, that's who I'm thinking of. When Jack Benny died, I didn't want to look at my notes. I could just call out to you and ask for an answer. Okay. Jack Benny, when he died, he was kind of a miser during his life. He saved his money. He didn't spend a whole lot, right? But when he died, the day after his death, his wife Mary, I remembered her name, but not his name. Mary received a knock at the door, and there was one single perfect red rose that was delivered from the florist. Then the next day, one single perfect red rose. Jack Benny had made provision in his will that between the day of his death and her death, she would receive one perfect rose every single day. Isn't that great? It tells me one of two things. Maybe he was making up for something really bad, or, and I think this is the case, he had a right relationship with her that he wanted to go on forever, even after his death. This is what God gives us in Jesus Christ. Listen, a right relationship with God, and some of you know this, you've done a lot of laps around the Christian calendar, you've done a lot of circuits here around the church, you know this, but I want you to hear this again afresh, because I don't think we can ever hear this too much, that a right relationship with God is not something we achieve. It's not something we have to try to accomplish. It is something we have to receive, right? It's by trusting in what Jesus Christ has done in his death and burial and resurrection, and just as communion, as it came to us this morning, this comes to us in Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice is what makes us right with God. So, how do we do this? What should we really be about? What should we crave? What should we savor that will feed this desire to hunger and thirst after God? Can I just make it obvious? I think the things that we should savor, what will satisfy a right relationship with God, is what we've already talked about. Okay, can we just walk through these again? And this is not a formula for spiritual growth. This is not a formula for maturity. But I believe as we want to satisfy a right relationship with God, these are the very things that we ought to savor, right? Worship. If I'm in a right relationship with God, I want to worship him more every single day. Are you developing that appetite for worship? So the greatest threat to worship is idolatry. You're going to worship something, right? And if it's not God, you're going to worship something else. And I really like what I stumbled upon a few weeks ago, just the five S's of what we are tempted to worship in our society. Success, sports. By the way, let me stop right here. Sports. Four good tickets to the Super Bowl today. Four good tickets will cost you $75,000. $75,000. You could build a compassion center in some other part of the world for that. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong if you've got the money and you want to spend it that way, fine. But there's a reason it costs that much, is because that's how much we value one sporting event, right? So success, sports, sex, it's everywhere, stuff, and self. This works out nicely for me because I can just put spoo right there at the end of that one. That's who I tend to worship, right? And that's who we all tend to worship, is ourselves. That will never satisfy us. These things, and we're going to come back to this at the end, those things, it might be what we crave, but they will never satisfy us the way that worship of the eternal God will. How else do we go about satisfying our appetites? Community. The greatest threat to community is superficiality. And we can come in and we can play the good smiley game on Sunday morning. But you know when relationships become real? That's when we hurt each other. Okay. Forgiveness is the name we give to love among those who practice love imperfectly. It's a quote by Henry Nouwen that I absolutely love. Forgiveness is the name we give to love among those who practice love imperfectly. And what happens? If we don't learn to say, I love you and I forgive you, what we're condemned to is a life of superficial relationships. That as soon as somebody hurts us, we skip off and we go to the next and the next and the next. When a relationship begins to hurt, that's when it becomes real. How do you know you're really married? It's not when you say, I do, and it's all roses and cake. It's when you hurt each other, when you let each other down, and you choose to forgive one another every single day. How do you know that you're really a part of community? When other people hurt you, but it doesn't stop you from forgiving them. But we tend to be superficial. How else do we satisfy this desire for a right relationship with God? We do it through service. By extending ourselves, giving ourselves, what you will discover is more growth and service than you could ever possibly imagine. In fact, I'd say that a lot of Christians don't need any more Bible studies. If you already have two or three Bible studies booked on your schedule, you're probably doing fine. What you probably need to do is to take one of those slots and start serving in some way. So here's an illustration from the Holy Land. And by the way, taking a trip in 2021, going to Israel. We've got some extra spots if you want to go. We don't need to take any more, but we got them. But we're going to visit two bodies of water in Israel. One is the Sea of Galilee. That's where Jesus and his disciples would fish. Now, you know why it's fresh? It's because it has a river coming into it and the Jordan River coming out of it. And so it receives and it gives and it's fresh. But if you keep following the Jordan River down south, you'll dead end into the Dead Sea. And it's given that name for a reason. It's dead. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. The salt content is too high. It only has a river flowing in, and the only way water gets out is by evaporation, which leaves the salt behind. Get this, it's only receiving and never giving. And because it only receives, it's become toxic. I think that parable holds true in our lives, that when we give and we receive and we receive and we give, we stay fresh in our relationship with God and others. But when we only expect to get, give to me, give to me, give to me, and we never sacrifice, we become toxic. If you've become bitter, give yourself away. I don't know how it works. I just know that it works. And when we sacrifice, we experience a contentment. We satisfy that desire to be right with God. And then through the scripture, it helps satisfy this appetite we have for God. Here's what I would say. If you're reading the scripture and you've not come across anything that unsettles you, you might be reading it wrong. Because scripture consistently confronts our sinful nature, and hopefully it pushes it back. And so that moment that you read something that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, that may be the exact growth point that you need. How do we satisfy this appetite that we're developing for a right relationship with God? Here it is. So let me encourage you to do something with all this, okay? And I'm going to give you three R's, and these are just kind of some practical steps on how to satisfy this desire, satisfy our appetite for a right relationship with God. Realize that you are hungry. I want every person in this room just to think about this, to realize that you are hungry. Do you know that you can be hungry and not know it? Sometimes we feel angry, but really, as the Snickers commercials have reminded us, we're not angry, we're hungry. You can be thirsty and not know it. If you kind of feel lethargic, you have trouble focusing, or you may actually think you're hungry, drink a bottle of water. You might be thirsty and not know it. So let's bring that over into the spiritual realm. If you're a highly negative person, it could be that you're hungry and you don't know it. You're hungry for joy. If you're a restless person and you can't find contentment anywhere, it could be that you're hungry. You're hungry for the peace that only God can bring. If you feel angry all the time, it could be that you're hungry. You're hungry for love that only God can provide. If you're greedy, it could be that you're hungry. You're hungry for the contentment that can only be found in Christ. Realize that so many of the desires we have in life are covers up for hunger. A hunger we have, a thirst we have for a right relationship with God. I've been drawn this week over in my mind to David in the Old Testament. He's garrisoned outside of Bethlehem. He's in a conflict, as he always seems to be early in his life. He's in a conflict with somebody else, and he and his men are on the outskirts of town, and Bethlehem was David's hometown. And so he says, where a couple of his men could hear, he said, "Oh, how good would it be to drink the water from the well at Bethlehem?" It was the well that he would drink from growing up, and the taste of that water just reminded him of home in simpler days. And so three of his soldiers stole into the night and they got David the water that he wanted. Now, there's more to the story than this. David refused to drink it because these three men had risked their lives. Boy, I want you to hear this. When we hunger and thirst for God, we realize that that is home for our hearts. And only He satisfies the deepest desire of our souls. Realize that you're hungry for God. Okay. Then replenish yourself on the presence of God. If you're hungry in life, Again, there's no formula for spiritual growth, but as we begin to crave these things, I can almost guarantee you'll be growing in your relationship with God. As we begin to crave worship and community and service and scripture, I think we can't help but naturally grow. Replenish yourself. This week, I spent the greater part of the week at the monastery. Jeff Elkins made a good point. I go to this monastery every couple of months, and it has this mystique to it. I think next time I go, I'll just shoot some videos while I'm there so you see it's not a strange place. It's just out in the middle of nowhere where a group of guys are living, but nothing strange about it at all. It does sound odd to kind of talk about it out loud. But the place where you eat is called the refectory. That's an unusual word. But to refect means to perfect again, to re-perfect. Don't we feel that when we eat? It kind of gives us a new look on life. We feel better. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. One of the other guests out there this week, we came in to eat breakfast, and he came in with a can of sardines for breakfast. How many of you have ever eaten sardines for breakfast? How many of you would never eat sardines for breakfast? It was kind of gross, actually. Yeah, he kind of unrolled the sardines and dumped them out, and he started eating them, and I talked to him later. I go, sardines for breakfast, how about that? He goes, oh, it was good. I was just craving sardines. I can't imagine those words ever coming out of my mouth, right? He grew up in France, and that's what he ate for breakfast was sardines, right? That was his appetite. Listen, you can develop an appetite for anything if you choose to. Here's what we should be developing an appetite for. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for a right relationship with God. And then what do? We repeat. You know, we realize that we're hungry. We replenish ourselves, and we repeat. We keep doing these things all through our lives. Why? Because we never outgrow the desire to eat and drink. We never outgrow our desire to worship and to community and serve one another and go to the Scripture for God's guidance. So each week I've just kind of been giving just a candid moment to say, if I had the freedom just to speak honestly as a person who happens to be your pastor, here's what I would say. So here's what I would say. We need to beware as a church of the tyranny of the trivial. We are called to hunger and thirst after God. We need to be careful of the tyranny of the trivial. And I can't tell you how many issues I deal with during the week that really have nothing to do with spiritual growth, that have nothing to do with any eternal issues. They're more handling our taste or our preferences. We need to be careful, and I want to say more, I'm just not going to today. We need to be careful about being distracted by little things that are trivial. 2 weeks ago, we did a time where people could come down for healing, and I dealt with a couple of trivial matters that week, including an email that made some people angry. But when I stood in this aisle and I watched people come out and step into the aisle because they were hurting, that's what really matters. That's the eternal. And so instead of being distracted by the trivial, we need to have an appetite for that which is eternal. If I could encourage you, one practical thing coming out of this morning. We are making these available church-wide. We have developed over the last year, and we've kind of gone through a beta testing with some leaders, but it's something called our spiritual development guide. Okay, if you want to begin to grow in your relationship with God, what this guide does is it's just a 10-week guide that, please don't do this by yourself. Get two or three other people and go through this together. They're available out on our community group board. This is an opportunity to work through the 9 fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and some spiritual disciplines, some spiritual exercises that are compatible with those so that we can actually begin to grow. And if anybody complains in the church, I would like that we would complain about this, that I'm not developing enough joy, I'm not developing enough peace, I'm not developing enough love in myself. And let's begin to let go of the trivial and to embrace the eternal. To grow, to hunger and thirst for a right relationship with God. And so I'm going to end today with C.S. Lewis, because he talks about appetites, he talks about desires. I want you to listen to this. This is good. He says, the Christian says, or we believe, that creatures are born with desires. They are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. kind of butchered that. Let me start over. Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. A baby feels hunger. Well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there's such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire. Well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is that I am made for another world. If I find in myself a desire that no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I am made for another world. We are made, we are born with an appetite for God. And blessed are those who develop this hunger and this thirst, because we will be satisfied in Him. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. Jesus, we are born with a desire that nothing in this world seems to satisfy. If this world could satisfy us, we would have found it by now. We would have found happiness by now. But even in our affluent Western culture, it seems the more we have, the emptier we realize that we are. Help us to realize that our hunger and thirst is about You, to replenish ourselves in Your presence, and to keep repeating this for the rest of our lives. Lord Jesus Christ, would You satisfy our souls to the depth of our existence, and help us to continue to hunger for a growth and intimacy of a relationship, something that can only be found in You through Jesus Christ. Thank You that salvation is not something we have to achieve, but something we can just receive in the name of Christ. And we worship You in the name of Jesus today. Amen. This is a song that we sang earlier in worship, but this is the best expression, I think, that we could give to what we just talked about, hungering and thirsting for God. How could I but love You? How could I but follow You? How could I but thank You? As we sing this, don't just sing it. Would you pay attention to the words coming off your lips? Would you see if it matches the desire of your heart? And if you don't have an appetite for God or the things of God today, ask Him for it. God, I want to have an appetite, a deeper appetite for You. Give me that, with the promise that You will fill that appetite with Yourself. Let's worship God together for a few moments.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.